Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I work as a delivery driver. It might not be the dream job, but it's flexible and keeps the lights on. Most of the time, it's just a matter of picking up food and dropping it off. Nothing too exciting, nothing too weird. Sure, occasionally there's a quirky customer or an unusual request, but it's usually nothing to write home about. Or at least, that's what I thought before this one customer turned my life upside down. I was working the dinner rush, juggling orders from the app. Around 7:30 p.m., I got a delivery request from a nice Italian restaurant across town. The customer had ordered pasta, salad, and tiramisu, definitely a fancier meal than my usual runs of burgers and pizza. The address was in a quiet residential neighborhood, the kind with trimmed lawns and cars that look like they never see dirt. When I pulled up to the house, it was already dark. The porch light was on, and the place looked inviting enough. I grabbed the delivery bag and walked up to the door. I knocked, and a man in his mid-30s answered almost immediately. He was smiling, a little too much. "Hey there," he said. "Thanks for bringing this over so quickly. You must be swamped tonight." "Yeah, it's been busy," I replied, handing him the bag. He lingered in the doorway, holding the bag but not stepping back inside. "You know," he said, "you've got a great voice. Have you ever done any voice work, like radio or something?" It was a weird compliment, but I just laughed it off. "Nope, just delivering food." "Well, you should think about it. Anyway, thanks again. Have a good night." I thanked him, turned, and walked back to my car. The interaction felt odd, but nothing too alarming. I finished my shift and didn't think about it again, until the next day. The next afternoon, I got a notification from a dating app I rarely used anymore. Someone had sent me a message, but what caught my attention wasn't the message itself. It was the profile picture. It was him, the overly friendly customer from the night before. His message was simple: "Hey, didn't we meet last night?" I hadn't given him my name or any personal information. How had he found me? My profile didn't even have a clear photo of my face. It was an old picture of me hiking with sunglasses. I decided not to respond. Maybe it was a coincidence. Maybe he wasn't sure it was me. But over the next few days, the messages kept coming. "You seem cool. Let's hang out sometime." "Don't ignore me. I know you saw this." "You're really going to pretend we didn't meet?" It was unsettling, but I figured if I didn't engage, he'd eventually move on. Unfortunately, he didn't. A week later, I noticed he had started following me on Instagram. My account was private, but his request was there, along with a message: "You really need to work on being more approachable." That was enough for me. I blocked him on the dating app and Instagram, hoping that would be the end of it. But it wasn't. 2 days after that, I got a direct message on Facebook. "Why are you ignoring me? I thought we had a connection." At this point, my unease turned into genuine fear. I blocked him again, but it seemed like every time I closed a door, he found another way in. One night, while I was working another shift, I noticed a car following me. It wasn't tailgating or anything obvious, but every turn I made, the car was there. At first, I thought it was a coincidence. Then I started taking random turns to see if it would shake them. It didn't. My heart sank when I realized the car was the same make and model as the one in his dating profile pictures. I parked in a busy gas station lot and stayed in the car, pretending to scroll through my phone. The car idled on the street for a few minutes before driving off. I told myself it couldn't be him, but the eerie sensation wouldn't let up. The next morning, I decided to tell my brother about what had happened. He's the kind of guy who doesn't take nonsense from anyone, and I thought having him ride along with me for a while might make me feel safer. When I explained everything, the delivery, the messages, the stalking, and the car outside the gas station, his face turned serious. "That's not normal," he said. "You're not doing another delivery alone." I was caught between a sense of relief and apprehension. My brother could be protective to a fault, and I worried he might escalate things, but I didn't want to argue. That night, he climbed into the passenger seat of my car as we headed out for a few deliveries. I can't deny his presence made me feel a little less on edge. As we drove toward the next drop-off, we passed the same gas station I'd stopped at the night before. My stomach sank when I saw his car. Unmistakable, was parked by the pumps. I slowed down, trying to confirm it was the same vehicle. "That's him, isn't it?" my brother said. He unbuckled his seatbelt, already reaching for the door handle. "I'm gonna have a word with this guy." "No." I grabbed his arm. "Don't. It's not worth it." "You're telling me you're just going to let this creep get away with following you? What if he's planning something worse?" "Please," I said. "We'll handle it, but not like this. Let's go to the police station instead." My brother hesitated, his hand still on the door handle, but eventually he relented with a frustrated sigh. "Fine. But if I see him again, we're not running." I took a deep breath and drove straight to the nearest police station. Once there, I explained everything to the officer on duty, the delivery, the messages, the stalking, and now spotting his car again. My brother backed me up, adding his own observations. The officer listened carefully, taking notes as we spoke. "This is serious," the officer said. "You've done the right thing by coming here. We'll look into it immediately." Filing the report felt both empowering and unsettling, but having my brother by my side made it bearable. The officer assured us they'd investigate and told me to call immediately if anything else happened. That night, my brother insisted on staying over at my place. As much as I appreciated the company, sleep didn't come easily. I kept imagining scenarios of what could have happened if my brother hadn't been with me, or if we'd stopped at the gas station. The next day, I took steps to protect myself. I changed my social media handles, tightened my privacy settings, and started sharing my location with my brother whenever I worked late shifts. I also started varying my routes home and avoided taking orders in the neighborhood where he lived. For weeks, I was on edge, jumping at every notification and scanning my mirrors every time I drove. Slowly, though, the messages stopped. He seemed to disappear. I don't know if the police scared him off or if he found someone else to target, but I haven't heard from him since. Looking back, the whole experience sounds like something.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Out of a bad movie, but it drove home the reality of how vulnerable we can be, especially in jobs that put us in contact with strangers. When I started delivering part-time, it was mostly to pay off some credit card debt and save up for a summer trip. It wasn't a bad gig, honestly. The flexibility worked around my office hours, and I enjoyed the little moments of quiet during the drives. I usually stuck to residential neighborhoods with the occasional office building or apartment complex thrown in. But one Friday night, I accepted an order that turned out to be anything but ordinary. It was late, around 9:30 p.m., and I'd just finished a decent run of orders. I was planning to head home when a high-ticket delivery popped up on the app, with a generous tip already added. The drop-off location was listed in an industrial area about 15 minutes away. Normally, I'd pass on something like that so late, but the payout was tempting. Plus, I figured it was probably someone working late at a factory or warehouse. The drive started out fine. The streets were mostly empty, which I liked. The city lights faded into dimly lit roads, and eventually, the occasional street lamp gave way to long stretches of darkness. My GPS chirped directions, guiding me further into what felt like the middle of nowhere. By the time I turned onto the final road, I was second-guessing my decision. The industrial park looked abandoned. Most of the buildings were old and run down, their facades covered in graffiti. Shattered windows stared out like empty eye sockets, and a few of the streetlights flickered. I pushed the uneasy feeling aside and focused on what I needed to do. The GPS announced, "You have arrived at your destination," but all I saw was a massive, crumbling warehouse. There were no signs of life, no lights, no cars parked outside, nothing to suggest someone was waiting for their food. The address matched what was on the app, but I couldn't believe anyone would live or work here. I parked a few feet away from the warehouse and stared at it through my windshield, debating what to do, but I'd already accepted the order. Canceling now might hurt my rating, and I really needed that tip. So I did what I always did when something felt off. I called the customer. The phone rang, and rang, and rang. No answer. That's when I noticed them, shadowy figures standing near the edge of the building. I told myself it couldn't be real, just my eyes fooling me. But as I squinted, I realized there were at least three people, maybe more, hidden in the dark. They weren't moving, just standing there, watching me. I locked my car doors. Goosebumps rose on my skin as I watched one of the figures step forward, slowly coming into the beam of my headlights. He was tall, no shirt, and jeans that looked two sizes too big, and wearing something over his face, maybe a mask or a bandana. I decided right then that I wasn't sticking around. I grabbed my phone to cancel the order and started to reverse out of the lot. That's when I heard an engine. A low, throaty rumble filled the air, growing louder. I looked in my rearview mirror and saw a trail motorcycle speeding up behind me, its single headlight bouncing as the bike swerved erratically. The rider was wearing a helmet with a dark visor, completely concealing their face. He skidded to a stop directly behind my car, blocking my path. My chest tightened as panic set in. There was no way out. The only option was forward, toward the warehouse and the figures still lurking nearby. I shifted into drive and inched forward, hoping the biker would take the hint and move. Instead, he revved the engine, leaning forward like he was daring me to try something. The figures by the warehouse were moving now, three masked men approaching the front of my car. My hands gripped the steering wheel so hard they hurt. I didn't want to find out what these people had planned. My only thought was escape. I slammed the car into reverse and floored it. The car lurched backward. The motorcycle didn't stand a chance. My bumper collided with it, sending the bike skidding out of the way. The rider tumbled off, rolling over the hood of my car before hitting the ground. I didn't stop to see if he was okay. I threw the car into drive and sped out of the lot, my tires screeching loud. In the rearview mirror, I saw the remaining figures running after me. One of them pulled something from their pocket, maybe a gun. My heart raced as I pushed the accelerator, desperate to get far away from that warehouse. Once I hit a main road, I slowed down just enough to grab my phone and call 911. My voice was shaking as I explained what had happened. The dispatcher told me to head straight to the nearest police station, so I did. When I arrived, I parked in front of the building and ran inside. I must have looked like a mess, my hair sticking to my face, my breathing ragged, but the officers were calm and professional. They took my statement, examined the damage to my car, and promised to investigate. A few days later, I got a call from one of the officers. They'd gone to the warehouse and found evidence of a gang using the location as a base for car thefts. Apparently, they'd been luring delivery drivers there under the guise of food orders, planning to rob them and take their vehicles. The officer commended me for my quick thinking, but it didn't feel like a victory. I couldn't stop replaying the incident in my head. What might have happened if I'd hesitated, if I'd stepped out of the car, if I hadn't been able to escape? Fixing my car was another blow. The damage from hitting the motorcycle wasn't cheap, and I ended up dipping into the money I'd saved from months of deliveries to cover the repairs. It stung to watch that hard-earned cash disappear, but I kept reminding myself of one thing. At least I was safe. That was the last time I accepted an order to an industrial area. Some extra cash isn't worth your safety. And next time, if my gut tells me to leave, I won't think twice. Working as a delivery driver doesn't require much interaction beyond the basics, which is exactly how I like it. I'm a guy who appreciates efficiency, and most nights, I manage to stick to my routine without any drama. That night, I'd been on the road for a few hours, hitting all the usual spots, pizza joints, burger places, Chinese takeout. The orders came in steady but manageable, and I was making good time. It was a little after 8 p.m. when the app pinged me for a delivery not far from my current location. The customer had ordered a large pizza and a six-pack of soda. Standard stuff. The address was in a decent neighborhood, one of those older suburban areas where the houses all have big front yards and long driveways. It wasn't too far from the pizza place, so I accepted the order and headed over. When I pulled up, it looked normal enough, the kind of place where you wouldn't expect anything out of the ordinary. I grabbed the insulated bag from the passenger seat, checked the name on the order, Michael, and headed to the front door. I rang the bell and waited. A few seconds later, the door creaked open just enough for me to see a man's face peeking out. He looked to be in his mid-40s, with short-cropped hair and a neatly trimmed beard. His smile was wide, maybe a little too wide, but I didn't think much of it at the time. "Hey there, you're right on time," he said, opening the door a bit more. "Here's your order," I said, handing over the bag. He took it with one hand, still holding the door with the other. "Thanks, man. Oh, hang on, I've got a tip for you. Just step inside for a second while I grab it." I paused. "No worries, you can just hand it to me here." His smile faltered for a split second before returning. "Come on, it'll just take a second." I left my wallet on the kitchen counter. "Actually, I'm not supposed to go inside," I said, keeping my tone polite but firm. Delivery policies are pretty clear about that, and besides, something about the way he said it made me feel uncomfortable. He leaned against the doorframe, his smile now feeling more forced than friendly. "Seriously, it's just right there. Don't be weird about it." I shook my head, taking a small step back. "Company policy. Thanks for understanding." For a moment, he just stared at me, his eyes narrowing slightly. Then, without a word, he pushed the door open wider and gestured inside. The hallway beyond was dimly lit, the kind of lighting that made it hard to see where the walls ended and the shadows began. "Look," he said, his tone losing its friendliness. "I'm trying to give you a tip here. Do you want it or not?" "I appreciate it, but I can't come in," I said, backing up another step. That's when he grabbed my arm. It wasn't a hard grip, but it was enough to send a jolt of alarm through me. "Just step inside," he said, his voice low and insistent. I yanked my arm free, stumbling back onto the porch. "I said no!" My voice was louder than I intended, but I didn't care. Adrenaline was kicking in, and all I wanted was to get out of there. The man stepped out onto the porch, his expression shifting to something colder. "I'm just trying to be nice," he said, his voice dripping with sarcasm. "No need to be rude." I didn't bother responding. I turned and walked quickly back to my car. The man stayed on the porch, watching me with that same unnerving smile. As I got into the car, he raised his hand in a mock salute. "Have a good night," his voice too cheerful to be genuine. I started the car and backed out of the driveway as fast as I could without drawing more attention. Once I was a safe distance away, I pulled over to the side of the road and took a moment to collect myself. I grabbed my phone and reported the incident to the delivery app, detailing everything that had happened. They responded quickly, thanking me for the report and assuring me they'd flag the customer's account. It was a small comfort, but the unease didn't completely disappear. The next day, I couldn't get the encounter out of my head. He'd seemed so normal at first, so friendly, but the way he'd grabbed my arm and tried to force me inside, it wasn't just inappropriate, it was calculated. Later that week, I brought up the incident with a close friend of mine who happens to be a police officer. I expected him to laugh it off or tell me I was overthinking it, but his expression turned serious as I described what had happened. "That's not just creepy, it's dangerous," he said. "You should report it. If this guy's done something like this before, there might already be a record." I felt a little ridiculous about filing a police report over what some might see as just a weird encounter, but my friend insisted. "If he's bold enough to try pulling you inside his house, he'll try it again with someone else, and next time, it could be worse." The next day, I went down to the local police station and told them everything. The officer taking my statement nodded as I explained the situation. When I mentioned the man's behavior, his insistence, the physical grab, and his unsettling smile, they asked if I could provide the address and a description of him. "You're not the first to complain about this guy," the officer said. "We've had two other reports of harassment and inappropriate behavior tied to that address. We're building a case, but unfortunately, we haven't been able to charge him yet." Hearing that made my stomach turn. The idea that this man had a history of luring people, that others had already fallen into similar situations, was deeply unsettling. I asked if there was anything more I could do to help. "We're actively building a case against him," he said. "Your statement is crucial. There's a chance we'll need you to testify if it goes to court." The thought of facing that man again, even in a courtroom, sent a wave of unease through me. But I knew it was the right thing to do. If my experience could help stop him from putting someone else in danger, I was willing to step up. Before I left, the officer reassured me, "You did the right thing by coming forward. We'll keep you updated as the case progresses, and we're flagging his address in our system." I walked out of the station feeling a mix of relief and anxiety. The encounter wasn't just a creepy, isolated incident. It was part of a pattern, and I might have been one of many who narrowly escaped something worse. It wasn't a comforting thought, but at least now, there was a chance to put an end to it. I'm relieved I walked away from that house unharmed, but the knowledge that this man was still out there with other complaints against him continues to haunt my memory. Delivering food might seem routine, but experiences like this remind me that danger can lurk behind any door. I've been a delivery driver for almost 7 years now. There's a peacefulness to driving around under the stars, with empty streets and fewer distractions. Most customers just want their food and barely say a word. But in that time, I've seen it all. Customers answering the door in nothing but a towel, houses so cluttered I couldn't even find a spot to leave the food, and even some strange requests that made me question humanity's priorities. Weird comes with the territory in this line of work. Out of all the odd, awkward, or downright bizarre moments I've had, this one stuck with me. It wasn't just weird. It was the kind of experience that makes you rethink doing late-night deliveries altogether. I can't remember exactly if it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday night, but around 10:30 p.m., I got a delivery request from an apartment complex across town. Nothing unusual about it, two burritos and a side of chips. The app listed Building 4, Unit 117, and the note said to leave it at the door. Easy enough. When I pulled into the apartment complex, I noticed it was one of those sprawling ones with identical buildings. The lot was sparsely lit, and I could barely make out the numbers on the buildings. After circling twice, I finally spotted Building 4 near the back, its entrance partially obscured by a tree. I parked my car and grabbed the bag. As I walked to the door, I scanned the lot out of habit. A few cars were scattered around, and one, a black sedan, was parked near the far edge of the lot. I let it go and focused on finding the right unit. Unit 117 was at the bottom of a dark stairwell. I crouched down, set the bag neatly on the doormat, and snapped a picture for the app. Just as I uploaded the photo to confirm the delivery, a prickling sensation crept up my neck, the unmistakable feeling of being watched. I stood and started back toward my car, my eyes landing on the black sedan I'd noticed earlier. Only now, it was parked much closer, just a few spaces from mine. I squinted at the car, and for a split second I thought I saw movement inside. The headlights were off, and the windows were tinted too dark to make out how many people might be inside, but something felt wrong. When I reached my car, I slid into the driver's seat and locked the doors out of habit. My phone buzzed with a new order notification. I was about to accept it when the sound of a car door clicking open shattered the stillness. When I looked at the black sedan, I saw a figure heading in my direction. The man was wearing a hoodie, the drawstrings pulled tight so I couldn't see his face clearly. He wasn't running, his footsteps echoing softly in the quiet lot. A sick feeling rose in my stomach. I turned on my engine, ready to leave, when I heard a sharp knock on my window. I jerked my head toward the sound and found the man standing right next to the passenger window, his face obscured by the hood. His hand was pressed against the glass, his fingers slightly splayed. I cracked the window just enough to speak. "Can I help you?" "Hey," he said, "I missed my bus. Can you give me a ride? Just a few miles up the road." My gut reaction was to say no, but I didn't want to antagonize him. "Sorry, I can't. I'm working." He leaned closer, his other hand now resting on the window frame. "Come on, man, just a quick ride. It's late, and I'm stuck here." "I really can't," I said firmly. "I've got other deliveries to make." His casual demeanor vanished in an instant. His expression hardened and his hand slid down the window, leaving a faint smudge. "You sure about that?" he asked. "I'm sure," I replied, carefully maintaining a calm tone. He stepped back, and for a moment I thought he was going to walk away. But instead, he slapped the hood of my car. "Don't be a jerk," he snapped. "I just need a ride." I didn't respond. My hand was already on the gear shift, and I started to back out. Before I could react, the man placed his hands on the small crack in the passenger side window and forced it down, pushing the glass all the way open. I froze, unsure of what to do next. He leaned halfway into the car, reached for the gear shift, and shifted it into park. Behind me, the black sedan's engine started, its headlights flicking on. My rearview mirror lit up as the car slowly rolled forward and stopped just inches from my bumper, blocking any chance of escape. At this point, I was already panicking. Then another figure emerged from the black sedan, slamming the door shut behind him. He moved toward my side window, his hood shadowing most of his face. The man at my passenger window started talking, his tone unsettlingly casual. "Just get out of the car. We just want to talk." Every nerve in my body screamed at me not to comply. "I'm not getting out." The man's casual demeanor evaporated. "Don't make this harder than it needs to be," he snapped. And before I knew it, he started pulling himself through the open window, his torso now halfway inside the car. I panicked and slammed my hand on the horn, the blaring sound cutting through the quiet night. The man winced but didn't stop. Instead, he snarled, "Knock it off, or you're going to regret it." As my honking grew more frantic, the door to the house I had just delivered to burst open. A large, shirtless man stormed out, his voice booming. "Hey, drop it! He's just delivering the food I ordered. He's fine. Let him go." The man climbing into my car froze, looking back at the shouting figure. The guy by my window hesitated too. The shirtless man advanced, his fists clenched, and his glare locked on them. "I said, back off!" The two men retreated. The one at my passenger window slipped out and backed away toward the sedan. And without another word, they sped off into the night, their taillights disappearing down the street. My rescuer jogged over to my car. "You okay?" he asked, his tone softer now. I nodded shakily, still gripping the steering wheel like my life depended on it. "You should probably report this," he added. "Those guys have been hanging around here too much lately." I thanked him and drove off, not stopping until I reached a big gas station. My hands were shaking really bad and I could barely breathe. The next day, I flagged the incident in the delivery app and shared it with other drivers. Part of me felt a little bad for the people living in that area who just wanted to order a different dinner or enjoy a late-night meal. Not everyone there could be tied to those two men, and I hated the idea of making someone's innocent order a red flag for future drivers. But I couldn't take the chance of something like that happening again, to me or anyone else. That incident became a lesson I wouldn't soon forget. Trust your instincts, lock your doors, and sometimes a loud horn and a bit of luck can save your life. If these delivery nightmares left you with goosebumps, don't forget to smash that like button and subscribe for more jaw-dropping stories. Have you ever had a creepy experience on the job or as a customer? Share your story in the comments. I'd love to hear it. Send this video to a friend who needs a reminder to always trust their instincts. And remember, kindness goes a long way, but always keep things safe and professional. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next nightmare.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.